Yeah! NBA Straya, how you going? That's right, man, it is NBA Straya. It is Wednesday, August 1. I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull, the Brooklyn Game, and a bunch of other places that want to pay me money. And I'm here hanging out Larry Armour Studios, New York City, New York, making sure you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA offseason today, just while repping Straya a little bit, mate. And it's been a fun week of NBA stuff, hasn't it? I mean, I hope you caught our 150th episode with Chris Anstey, and today's show welcomes in our resident Portland Trailblazers fanatic all the way out there in Portland, Oregon, PDX Pete, for an extended off-season yeah-nah. And the two of us are going to cover LeBron's school, Melo going to Houston, CJ McCollum and the coward Kevin Durant's beef, and loads, loads more. It's pretty great. It's pretty fun. So let's just get stuck into it, shall we? It's episode 151. It's NBA Australia. Let's go.
Oi, oi, oi. It's old mate Deli over here. That's right, Matty Dellavedova. And you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, and as promised, here we are, NBA Australia. It's episode 151. We've got our man over there in Portland, Oregon, PDX Pete. He's on the fucking foreign line. PDX Pete, how you going?
G'day, mate. How are you?
No, chilling, not illing, just sweating through a New York summer. How is it up in Portland?
Oh, it is hot as balls, mate.
Nice.
It is hot as balls.
Well, just as hot as the NBA offseason. That's what we're going to be talking about today. We're just going to do an extendo, fucking chilled out. Yeah, nah. We were just going to hit on a bunch of the offseason stuff. Because you know what? There's not a giant amount going when, you know, one of your mates, old CJ McCollum, gets out there and records a podcast with the coward Kevin Durant, and like a week later it becomes news for like 4 days. You know that the NBA offseason is like in full swing and people are just like grasping at anything like it's a fucking life raft. But I don't know how, like, we'll get to that at the end, but I mean, you could be pretty happy that suddenly people are talking about Portland in the offseason.
Hey, it's you know what? I want to get back to something first. You dogged the Trailblazers so bad on their summer league win. They smashed him, and no love for him, but that's all right. We can go back. It's good to have the Blazers in any sort of, news out there. But we really haven't made any sort of major shakeups, just like most of the teams. We're just kind of hanging out, waiting for something else to happen, I guess.
Yeah, so. It's weird how there's kind of like a we're obviously in the lull, but it just happened all so quickly this year, whereas I feel like in years past, we've at least had some weird signings and some trades sort of at least maybe creep into like the last kind of week of July at least. Whereas even the Kawhi trade sort of went down and we're like, oh, okay, so that's kind of it now? Holy shit, okay, fine.
Yeah. I feel like all we're waiting on is Rodney Hood, and then we should know everyone.
Yeah, Rodney Hood and the Cavs finally need to sort out their stuff. How much of like buyer's remorse do the Cavs have right now on like Jordan Clarkson and Rodney Hood? They're just like, really? We're stuck with these spuds? Jesus. Anyway.
Yeah, they can't be happy. But I mean,
exactly. What can you do? What can they do?
They need some on the roster, I guess. So.
True. All right, yep. Speaking of Cleveland, let's get into the first topic. It's a roundup of trades, free agency chaos, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But an actual nice story for the offseason. LeBron James basically announcing and opening up his I Promise school there in Cleveland. Well, what is it? It's in Akron, isn't it?
It's in Akron, yeah.
In Ohio. He announced it while looking like Brother Muzzone from The Wire, which was pretty fucking sick. But the school itself is pretty unreal. Free tuition, free uniforms, free bike and a helmet, free transportation within 2 miles to the school, a food pantry for families, as well as free breakfast and lunch and snacks for the kids, GEDs and jobs for the parents, and guaranteed tuition. That's right, a fucking college scholarship to the University of Akron for every student who graduates at the iPromise school. What do you reckon, PDX Pete? It's pretty good.
It is. Yeah, it is amazing. I think this is a huge class act from LeBron. I think especially with college debt kind of crippling this, you know, this generation of kids coming out of high school now, to have LeBron come into your community, well, his community, and be able to support them that well, and give them an opportunity to succeed where they probably wouldn't have been able to, is incredible. And he definitely deserves to be commended for it. So
it's hugely impressive. Like the, you know, we had Laura Ingraham basically talking shit and telling you know, him and D-Wade and everybody to shut up and dribble. And then he turns around and goes, how about I don't do that and I open a fucking school? Like, what do you reckon? Yeah. That sounds pretty fucking neat, right?
How about I actually set an amazing example for a lot of kids and a lot of, you know, a lot of young adults in this country? On the brighter side, to see LeBron kind of, well, hopefully other athletes take, follow his lead and help their own communities as well. I can't see how it's a negative in any way, shape or form. So
yeah, 100% agree. It's impressive as fuck. Like, it's really, really cool. It is incredible. But my big thing is, I fucking hate the fact that LeBron even has to do this. Like, education in this goddamn country is fucked and I hate it. Like, LeBron is out there having to build a fucking public school by himself, which is, you know, not his job. Like, he's a fucking basketball player. Meanwhile, really the fucking isn't. Pricks in Congress and, like, in charge are going to vote $100 billion tax cut into existence out of nowhere, basically, for basically slashing capital gains for the 1%. Meanwhile, kids can't get to school. Teachers get paid fuck all. There's no school supplies. The schools themselves are falling apart. Like, we're now relying on fucking athletes to open up a public school. What the fuck are we all doing here in this goddamn country, man?
I'll tell you a perfect example of how fucked up this country is. Paul Ryan voted to raise the retirement age so people would work longer, and he's retiring. He raised it to 68 or something, 65, 68. He's retiring at 45.
Ugh.
That is ridiculous.
It's like hypocrisy right there, man.
Shit like this. I mean, let's be honest. We, as two Australians living in America, could go on about how fucked up America is right now. But luckily, there's this thing called the NBA that we can, you know, switch on every night, watch some basketball, and not think about the rest of, you know, the atrocities that are kind of happening over here, you know. So
yeah, we're not living it, and whereas there's a fuck ton of people who are, and that sucks. And like, one of the things that I saw pop off a little bit on Twitter and stuff yesterday was like the people jumping on this shit and being like, ooh, Jalen Rose did it already. We're not blowing him for it. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Yeah, A, people have been blowing Jalen Rose about his school for ages, and it's also a really good idea. That's awesome. And B, shut the fuck up. Like, stop obfuscating the fucking point here. The point is that education in America is fucked beyond repair to the point where LeBron James has to open public schools. And when people sort of jump in and go, oh, well, actually, fucking Jalen Rose did a fucking school before LeBron did. It's like, yeah, you're just shitting on the conversation. The conversation should always be, how the fuck do we fix this? Because instead of fucking fixing it, we're tickling rich people's balls and coddling them for no fucking reason whatsoever while their kids go to fucking private school. And everybody else gets fucked over. I mean, at this point, LeBron's a fucking saint.
Especially for Ohio. You know, he's done amazing things for that state and now his community as well. And it's insane. Like you said, we're lining rich people's pockets while we're, you know, watching lower class people just crumble. And it sucks, but why can't, instead of well-actuallying everything that happens, why can't we just support everyone doing positive things for the community and keep moving forward and hope that sets a good trend?
Yeah, I mean, the narrative basically should be stemming from this. Like, people love in America just talking about, it's opening up the conversation with, you know, it's all a part of the conversation. I'm like, every time you talk about the conversation itself, you're not actually talking about the point, which is fix fucking schools.
Yeah.
Like, just fucking fix them. Like, instead of like, oh, we need to have a conversation. No, the conversation is fucking fix it and let's fucking do that. Like, and anyone who sort of changes the narrative from like, you know, to, oh, Jalen Rose did it first. Like, you're an asshole. Just fucking fix schools. It's not fucking rocket surgery. Anyway, so on your LeBron. It's some good stuff. I love it.
Yeah, exactly. I think the grand idea should be, good for LeBron. Hopefully other people do it too. And if we can all just kind of celebrate the good things and not dwell on the shit things, we'll all be happier.
Yeah. Just imagine if like some more rich people actually did stuff like this as well.
Yeah.
Left, right, and center. It'd be kind of handy.
Yeah.
Pretty nice. So Carmelo Anthony is off to Houston to join his buddy, Chris Paul, and of course, James Harden. Carmelo Anthony, one of the not actual banana boat bros, because it was Gabrielle Union who was on the banana boat. I think Mello was, he was on the holiday, but not on the banana boat.
I love that he just keeps getting photoshopped onto it, though.
Yes, like, love it.
That narrative is better, so let's just add him to it.
It's good. So Mello goes to Houston, and Houston, basically this offseason, let Trevor Ariza go to Phoenix for $15 million for 1 year, and Luka Mbarumute goes back to the Clippers. So Houston replace Ariza and Luka Mbarumute with a washed 33-year-old who doesn't play any defense. Yep. Good move or nah there, PDXP? Yeah, nah.
I think you already know the answer, but nah, that's a horrible move. And let's also point out they signed Chris Paul to $160 million over 4 years. So he's going to be 37, making $40 million in the last year of that contract. They've just like, they've strapped themselves. They're definitely in win now mode. But, you know, if PJ Tucker goes down, they are so effed on defense, like so fucked. I don't know what they're going to do. So, I hope Ryan Anderson can get out and play some D, but
I mean, that's what they're paying him for, right? Oh, wait.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Not at all.
Yeah.
So the thing that gets me is that this is the sort of move that we all look back on and go, what the fuck were they thinking was going to happen? Like, so with our ongoing series on NBA Australia of the NBA Australia Never Forget, which has been great in the offseason where I'm just like writing about old NBA players. I mean, we had Pete Maravich, I think today.
The pistol.
And
that's one of my I've got that jersey.
Yeah.
That Atlanta jersey, the green and blue one. Nice. It's one of my favorites. Great jersey.
And it's stuff like that. And dudes like Bob McAdoo and like just random dudes like that who, because you know their name and they land on a team when they're starting to get old and everyone kind of thinks that they're washed and people still go, oh, but the name is pretty awesome. That guy's good at basketball. And it's clear that they're not good at basketball anymore. Like Mello's washed. He's shit basically at this point, at least in terms of the sort of basketball you need to be playing in 2018. Like it's not 2008. He's not even 2012 New York Mello. He's clearly not Olympic Mello. It's not how he wants to play. Like Olympic Mello is not going to walk through that fucking door. He's D-U-N done. And D'Antoni is going to be sitting there going, God, what did I do to deserve this? I mean, come the fuck on, man. Like I just went into the coaching wilderness for fucking years because of this prick. And now I'm like, I've got a good thing going. I win 65 fucking games in Houston. We nearly get to the finals. And now they're going to saddle me with fucking Carmelo Anthony.
Then you ship out our two best defenders and bring in, yeah, that. And he still has the fucking hide to refuse to come off the bench. How is that possible? The guy should be lucky that he's making any money at all. And now he's making $20 million for nothing.
Yep.
And he's going to sign a minimum. That's stupid.
I fucking hate it. Like, so Houston was sixth in defense last year, and anytime you can have a Mike D'Antoni offense and actually have a, like, the rule was, as long as they could be average on defense, they'd be fucking unreal. And obviously last year we saw them, they were really good on defense, and a lot of that was to do with Trevor Ariza and Luka Mbarumute. And they got all the way to the Western Conference Finals. Without that the Chris Paul injury, they probably make the finals and probably win the title. But instead, Chris Paul pings a hammy, which is obviously, you know, a really good reason to give a 33-year-old a $160 million contract. Four years, $40 million each. So, yeah, you should definitely give that guy all the money. And then also we'll saddle your easygoing coach that everyone fucking loves with the one guy that he's never gotten along with. Come on.
Exactly.
That's fucking brutal.
Exactly.
So Daryl Morey, I don't know, man. What's going on there?
Let's not forget that in the playoffs when they were playing Golden State, they had a seven-man rotation, and two of those men are now people that they've shipped out. So where do they think they're going to – are they just going to find, like, gems, like Ennis or someone off the bench to be like, oh yeah, now you're going to play 30 minutes a game. Like, what in what world do they live in that they think they can just make it happen?
Gerald Green is not going to be your Lukumbara Mute. Like, fucking hell, man. That's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Can Joe Johnson come back, or, like, I don't know. Jesus. Anyway, so
that is grasping.
So the other part of the Houston conversation is that Clint Capela finally signed his deal with Houston. They agreed to 5 years, $90 million, and I'm fine with this. Like, a buddy of mine was like, "Nah, it's too much." I'm like, "Fuck, whatever." Like, he is one of the best defensive centers probably going. He's only, what, 23, 24?
Yeah, he's young.
So he's that fucking good already. He's basically the backstop on the sixth best defense in the NBA last year, because James Harden wasn't stopping anyone on the fucking perimeter, that's for sure. Whereas Capella's out there crushing it. And obviously we saw his kind of limitations in the playoffs sometimes, where he'd only end up playing like 26, 28 minutes a game. And they obviously had PJ Tucker playing center for a bunch of the Golden State series and stuff. But I don't know, 5 years, 90 kind of feels fine for someone who might be one of the six best big men in the fucking league. I'm all right with that.
Yeah. My original thought was, I mean, Maury's just, you know, Chris Paul has just replaced DeAndre Jordan with Capella, and they're just going to roll that same scheme out. The difference is Houston's got James Harden, and he can light up anything on any night. He can give you 40 points. So I think there is there's a good mix there, and I think Capella was signed at the right price. I think big men are going to get more money now, at least for a little while, because all the most promising big men are all going to be young and inexperienced, unless you want, you know, Nerlens Noel. I think he's a great signing. I think he's like you said, he's a defensive anchor. He was killing it for him on both ends last year. Somehow he is always open for that lob. Everyone sees it coming from a mile away, and he still gets, you know, 5, 6, 7 of them a night, you know. So yeah, I can't fault him on that one. Everything else that they're doing, I can. Yeah. I think they're really stupid, and I think they've regressed pretty hugely. But with the Capella signing, I think that was a no-brainer.
Yep.
So
yeah, I feel like the like, for Houston, they just needed him back, because without him, they were fucked. Because you suddenly have no team. So
yeah, they're going to play PJ Tucker at center.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. So I feel like you roll Chris Paul, James Harden, and Clint Capella out there, and you win a lot of games, kind of.
Yeah.
Almost like if you've got PJ Tucker still in the rotation, and you got maybe one other wing, another wing, maybe it's James Ennis, who knows. I still feel like you just win a lot of games. I just don't know how they're going to go in crunch time against the old Golden State Warriors now. But still, I think it's a pretty good signing, and it keeps them probably relevant for probably the 4 years of that Chris Paul contract. So unless James Harden just gets too much stripper glitter in his beard and it just starts weighing him down and giving him back problems. Next one up, does German Rondo, Dennis Schröder, how does he fit next to Rusty in OKC? Does he? Yeah, nah, PDX Pete.
Nah. I think he should enjoy riding the pine for the next 2 years of his contract, because, you know, Westbrook, my thought is Westbrook averages like 35 minutes per game, you know, which leaves that's at the point guard slot for him to come out and make a difference. But then again, maybe Westbrook needs a couple of extra minutes on the bench and just come out and slaughter teams in the last 10 minutes of the, you know, fourth quarter and play it all out. But I just don't see how two extremely ball dominant point guards are going to be able to play next to each other.
Yeah. So I've got a couple of different thoughts about this. Like, people yelling out, oh, it's really good because it's another ball handler and Rusty can now play off the ball. My point about that is this is the same thing as Melo, right? Like, Rusty is who Rusty is, and he's not suddenly going to become like a high efficiency fucking shooting guard next to German Rondo just because German Rondo's there. But the flip side does, feel to me like that it's like it might mean he can get to take a couple more possessions off, which I think is a good thing. Save his legs, as you said, for like the last 10 minutes of a game or whatever. And I kind of like, you know, we've seen it work in the past when they've actually had another ball handler around Rusty and KD, and in the past, it's like it actually kind of works where Rusty can do just a little bit less and it seems to work out for everybody. The problem is, I don't know if Dennis Schroeder is the right sort of dude for that, right? He has got no fucking conscience of just about shooting and like getting, like calling his own number every fucking time down the court, same as fucking Rusty. So for me, like OKC, I think they just need to figure out who and what works best around Rusty and play to that as hard as they possibly fucking can. Like if that means like a killer defensive team like they had last year with a couple of scorers in Rusty and PG. But maybe like German Rondo, he's 24. He can score. We've seen that. Maybe not very efficiently, but he can score. He can, you know, play make a little bit. Maybe he becomes like that dude that you can put around like Rusty, Paul George, Jeremy Grant, Robeson, Adams, whatever. And maybe he slips in and it's like a pretty good five-man thing that you've got in crunch time. Who fucking knows? Maybe he gets really good defensively and can really help cover like something. Maybe he's, because he's fucking big, like he's 6'4 and he's long. Maybe he sort of, him, Rusty, Paul George, Robeson, Jeremy Grant and Steven Adams and stuff becomes like a fucking terror. So I don't know. It's, I think it's an interesting roll of the dice.
I mean, my question is he a better backup point guard than Raymond Felton? And the answer is always yes to that question. It doesn't matter who you're talking about. So, I mean, I think maybe they stagger Paul George's minutes to play a little bit more with Schroeder to you know, alleviate Westbrook going out, doing his own thing, put PG with Schroeder for some open shots and some, you know, off-screen kind of open shots. But we will never know until the season starts, I guess, how they're going to figure that out, because it seems like a bit of a mess at this point.
But yeah, I just think that we shouldn't pretend like Rusty's going to change. It's like Rusty's going to set screens and, like, you know, play off the ball and do cut. It's no fucking way is that going to happen, all right? Just everyone chill the fuck out. Like, come on.
Yeah, you're dreaming.
You are dreaming. Where's the drop?
He's dreaming.
Tell him he's dreaming. Tell him he's dreaming.
Dreaming.
Next one up. Is it really fucking strange still that the Sixers don't have a GM? Yeah, nah.
Yeah, fuck yeah. It's,
It's wild, right?
Yeah, I don't understand what they're doing. They're letting all these free agents just sign everywhere else and they're just hoping that they're going to figure it out.
So it was also, it was also reported that Jerry Colangelo, won't return to the Sixers in his weird bullshit consulting role once his contract is up. So that's pretty weird, but not really considering that they had to shit can his son for being a fucking weirdo. But it's still fucking weird that they haven't replaced him, right?
Yeah, it is. It's really strange. They definitely need to get someone in there and start steering the ship again, because it sounds like it's kind of falling all on the coach, and that's not really fair because he has a season to prepare for, and you know he should be busy doing that kind of the X's and O's stuff and get a GM that can figure out that other side. I will say they're doing one thing right this offseason by confirming the signing of Jonah Bolden. Son of Bruce. He's. I'm so glad that he's getting a chance to come over and play really well. So, yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So, for the Sixers, I feel like they should just hire Sam Hinkie back or give David Griffin, like, all the power he wants, because their whole summer of, like, we signed J.J. Redick and Amir Johnson back, and also we had that thing that we sorted out with Bielitsa, and then he, like, said, nah, I'm good, and went to like Europe and then went to Sacramento. But we got Jonah Bolden. Like, that's all good. And you're like, you guys didn't really do much, right? So, we're going to look back at this
Amir
and go,
Johnson's
really?
A real needle mover. So,
he can teach Jonah Bolden all the tricks, which is all right. But, you got a feeling that for Philly, you really just got to hope that Markelle Fultz better be fucking great this year to make up for them not trying. Well, seemingly not being able to pull off a Kawhi trade or anything like that. Who knows what happens mid-season with Kawhi and all that sort of stuff.
But yeah.
At the moment, the Sixers, you don't have to fucking have your entire team finished and sorted in July. But at the same time, you got to hope that Fultz gives you something. A couple of quick ones as well. Did the Celtics have the best offseason by doing nothing really apart from re-signing their dudes? Yeah, nah.
Yeah, no, I'm really happy that they brought Marcus Smart back. I think they were amazing. They probably have one of the best rosters, if not the best roster in the East. So why switch it up? And you've got Kyrie and Hayward coming back, which is only going to make you better. So why not? You know, I think they did exactly what they had to do.
Yeah, it's weird that people are like, are we sure that Toronto doesn't have the best roster in the East? I'm like, we don't even know if Kawhi is going to fucking play, first off. And then B, yeah, the fucking, like, Boston were really fucking good last year and didn't have Kyrie for like a third of the season and Gordon Hayward for all but 5 minutes. So, and I'm just saying, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, I think they're going to be pretty good. So I think they were pretty, they're pretty chill.
Forget,
like, not by doing much.
Don't forget Bainesy.
Oh, yeah.
Bainesy's, he's going to be hitting threes all season next season.
I can't wait for the unicorn talk to start around Aaron Baines that I started last year. So, So the Lakers also got LeBron. So, I mean, there's a couple of good ones for the best offseason, but good job by the Celtics. But the Lakers, I mean, you can say that they had the best offseason by by signing LeBron. But at the same time, you could almost say they have like a bad offseason because they signed a bunch of extra spuds for no real reason, which was some of the dumbest shit you'll ever see. I mean, anytime you can sign a bunch of vets who will stymie and like impede your young guys while bitching and fucking moaning and complaining all the time and teaching them fucked up habits. I mean, you got to do it, Lakers. You just got to do it.
Yeah. How Lance and Beasley are going to work in that locker room is beyond me. But
and JaVale.
Plus JaVale.
Holy shit.
And Rondo.
It's so weird. I don't know, man. So other good off seasons. I mean, Toronto, if Kawhi likes Drake, that is a good off season.
If they can get him to stay, it's an amazing off season. Yeah. If they can't, then they took a swing for the fences and it didn't work out. You know, they've still got a lot of young guys that they can kind of plan around. But
yeah,
they have to try, you know.
And Golden State, obviously they got Boogie. So that's a pretty good off season, I'd say.
Yeah. But, I mean, just to go back to something that you've said in the past, and I want to kind of reaffirm it, he has one of the worst sports injuries.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone assumes that he's going to just step on the court and be amazing. No. He's not coming back for ages.
No. I've watched the videos of him, like, doing his workouts and stuff, and you're like, that's all well and good. But, I don't know, try playing, like, 28 minutes a game on that fucking thing and see how you go. I mean, we saw Elton Brand. He was like a fucking shell of himself, like, you know, a year and a half after doing it and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I don't know. People getting excited about Boogie on the Warriors, I think they're fucking dreaming. So does Houston replacing two good players with a shit one, is that worth the worst offseason or nah?
Yeah. I reckon the Houston head-scratching offseason is the worst offseason so far. I just don't see what their roster moves that they have made them more of a contender to beat Golden State. I think, yes, they were really close, and yes, they were, you know, Chris Paul's hamstring on beating them. But, you know, like I said before, you know, like you've just let your two best defenders walk and brought in a absolute spud in Melo. So, yeah, I don't know.
It's weird. I feel like the Cavs probably get in there for a worst one as well, where they signed Kevin Love to a giant extension whilst also, you know, losing LeBron, whilst also maybe still having J.R. Smith and Rodney Hood on their team. So it's a tough one for the good people of Cleveland.
My favorite is the people of Cleveland being like, well, you know, it's a great signing because what if Kevin Love now becomes the Minnesota Kevin Love again? How long are they going to rely on that one time that he averaged 20 and 10?
Like, he was 26 and 12. It's like, yeah, fucking 5 years ago. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Settle down.
He's a complete different player. Like, yeah, it's beyond me. But,
all right.
Yep.
And so we've got PDX Pete here for a specific reason. Portland's off season. How are you feeling about all this? Replacing Ed Davis with Seth Curry and Sauce Castillo. Good off season, bad off season.
Personally, it hurts me to say, but I think we've had a pretty shitty off season. Seeing Shabazz and Ed, Shabazz was such a great little spark off the bench. it was hard to kind of watch him leave. Pat Connaughton obviously hardly ever played, so it doesn't really matter that he left. But Ed Davis was just our energy man off the bench. He cleaned up every board. I just don't see how I'm now going to rely on Myers Leonard to come out and do the same thing. So, yeah, that's pretty dumb. I will say I liked Wade Baldwin at the Summer League. I thought he did some amazing things. He played really well. So that's something to look forward to. Our draft, why the hell we brought in two really young guards when we have two really good guards and then go out and sign two other guards. I don't really get it. But again, you know me, I hate Neil Olshay. So I am just sitting back and just watching this shit burn and hoping that Lillard doesn't leave, demand a trade and leave sometime soon.
All right. I feel like it's a tough one. Yeah, I don't know. They were the 3 seed, and we're going to get to CJ and the coward Kevin Durant in a second. But I don't know, just the Ed Davis thing just seemed a little bit strange. And again, as you touched on the draft of like, hey, let's get some more small guards. You're like, guys, I don't know if that's the way you should be really sort of like focusing your assets on. Kind of weird. I mean, what's the best outlook for next year, that everything sort of clicks and that Zach Collins turns into a fucking world beater?
Yeah, I mean, that's what they're spinning at the moment, is that, you know, Zach Collins is going to come through. We got rid of Ed so we can get more minutes for Zach Collins. And we re-signed Nurk so the two of them can play together inside out. But yeah, we were lucky to get the 3rd seed. I don't think we'll get that high again. I just think we need to balance our roster a little bit more and not have 6 or 7 guards on our roster. But, you know, I optimistic PDX Pete in a couple of weeks will maybe have a different answer, and I'll tell you that Zach Collins is the next, I don't know.
Next Avidas Sabonis, so.
Yeah, obviously.
Nice.
Yeah.
This is, of course, don't forget, the Summer League champion. Yeah, Portland Trailblazers we're talking about. So.
Hey, again, you dogged them. They were amazing.
All right,
coming from the 2nd seed.
It's like, I mean, hey man, you avenged your fucking Summer League loss last year. You came out on tops this time, so it's all good. We'll stick on the Blazers because we are doing the off-season edition of NBA Straya Never Forget. All this off-season, we're hitting, what, 2 players each day from yesteryear. So PDXP, what Blazers players do you want to see pop up in the off-season edition of NBA Straya Never Forget? I mean, I think I've had Brandon Roy, and I think that might be the only Blazer I've had. Stacey Augmond played for the Blazers, but...
Bonzi Wells too.
Oh yeah, Bonzi. Man, this is it. It's literally called Never Forget, and I forgot Bonzi Wells, who I wrote about like 3 days ago. Stuff. So there you go. I've done 3. Well, you know, sort of Stacey Augmond kind of, but you know, I still think of him as an Atlanta Hawk. So is there anyone else like that I, you know, definitely should be hitting on?
I put together a starting 5 of Never Forgets.
Awesome.
Terry Porter at point guard.
Good stuff.
Clyde the Glide, obviously.
Yep.
Jerome Kersey at small forward.
I like that.
Just amazing energy guy. Incredible. He amazing guy. And then power forward, you got Mo Lucas.
Yep.
Or Uncle Spliffy Robinson. I'm happy with either. And then, I couldn't decide between Bill Walton and Sabonis. So either one of those.
Well, the best part is I've got Kevin Duckworth written down. So
do that one too.
It all works.
I mean, you got a few days to fill up, so.
I like it. That's some pretty good ones. That's the good thing about like each of these teams in the Never Forgets, is that each team has like 4 or 5 just dudes that you're like, fuck yeah, I want to like read just a little bit about them. So
for sure. And like, yeah, like Terry Porter's a great one because he's still here in Portland. He is the coach of the University of Portland basketball team. He, you know, still big in the community. The other guy that I wanted to chuck on, but I ended up not, was Damon Stoudemire as well.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, do you think most people sort of remember him from Portland? Weird.
No, but I always just think of him as Jailblazer classic, you know, just when that team was so dysfunctional and yet him and Zach Randolph and, you know, they were running around and having a great time off the court. So
I love Damon Stoudemire. So he's already on my list as well. So that's good. And then, I mean, we've got 2 more things we're going to hit and that's it. obviously CJ McCollum and the coward Kevin Durant. So CJ wanted to not call Kevin Durant a bitch because the B word is harsh and shouldn't be used. But PDX Pete, is the coward Kevin Durant a bitch? Yeah, nah.
No, I can't do it. He's a coward, yes, for going to Golden State, but out of context, you know, when you read that just in one sentence, yeah, it looks like he's being a complete arsehole, but in all honesty, they were just messing around on a podcast, and in all honesty, he's right, you know.
The point being that this is what he was actually talking about is that the coward Kevin Durant was like, hey, you guys aren't going to win a title anyway, right?
Right. And kind of laughing in CJ's face, which, you know, he's right. You know, Golden State they've set themselves up so well. And as like he was saying in that episode, with him taking those one plus one year contracts, he can kind of choose whatever he wants to do for the next however long of his career. So if he wants to keep coming back with Golden State, like, do you see anyone else in the West really putting up a fight? Maybe Houston, if they can figure their shit out. But I just don't think Portland can't really match up with them very well. I just think they're just going to be a dominant force moving forward. And that's not even including Boogie or whatever, you know. I just think Portland need to figure their shit out. Yeah, so all power to him for saying it. It was a dick thing to say. And like I said, out of context, he looks like a real asshole. But in the end, you know, he's right. So
I did like his analogy, though. I still think the B word is harsh and shouldn't be used. He know that decision was soft, but I respect it. It's like getting jumped with your brothers by a gang you should have beat, then joining the gang that jumped you and your brothers 2 months later and forgetting about your bros.
Yeah.
I fucking love it. It's such a great, great analogy. It's solid as.
Solid analogy.
And like anyone who listens to the old NBA Australia podcast knows my feelings about the coward Kevin Durant. He's a coward who joined a 73-win team in order to backdoor his way to a couple of rings. And no matter that he's like the finals MVP or anything, but he's still not even like the fan favorite on his own fucking team.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty happy to call him a bit of a bitch because he's also the sort of guy who keeps saying, like, question everything. Everything's a lie. You don't know the real story and all that sort of shit to impress people and, like, make people think that he's a lot more sort of cerebral than his actual actions and actions and sort of, like, expressions really sort of get across. Because meanwhile, he's also bitching on social media and setting up burners to defend himself.
That's what I was going to say. Let's not forget he pulled the Brian Colangelo before Brian Colangelo.
Exactly. Got to have all those burners, man. That's how it goes.
You can't do that.
Yeah. So I don't know. I still think he's a bit of a thin-skinned bitch. But anyway, finally, we got a little bit of news and maybe rumors that Tristan Thompson and Draymond Green got into a bit of a punch on after the ESPYs, after Draymond Green tried to apologize for talking shit at the Warriors championship parade about Tristan Thompson and how he was how Draymond sunned him basically in the handshake line at the end of the finals. Do you reckon this actually happened? Did Tristan Thompson punch on with Draymond Green? What do you reckon there, PDXP?
Fuck yeah. I definitely think he should have. If it did happen, then good for him. I hope he got him a good one on the chin, because any man that knees another guy in the balls multiple times deserves a good one on the chin. And you know, Stephen Adams didn't deserve it, let alone multiple times. So yeah, I hope Tristan got him a good one, and I hope he's icing up that jaw.
I like it. The best bit for me is that I'm not entirely sure if I believe any of this, because I can't imagine Draymond trying to apologize for anything ever.
Yeah,
that seems like a big hole in the story, right?
Yeah.
Nice. All right, that's it. Thanks for joining us, PDX Pete, for a bit of Extendo Yena for episode 151. This has been awesome.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Anytime.
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, Brew, and you're listening to NBA Street, Cheer, Brew.
All right, and that is it for this week. It's episode 151. It's all in the bag. Thanks heaps to PDX Pete for swinging by and talking a bunch of crap with us. We'll be back next week covering a whole bunch of stuff. We should have another interview, which should be really, really, really fun. Not going to say who it is, but trust me, it's pretty bloody awesome. Make sure you're following us on NBAAustralia.com, on Facebook, on Twitter. Make sure that you're really on top of all the NBA Australia. Never forgets, we're doing two a day all off season, which is unbelievable. And we're going to keep going weekly with the podcast during the off season. So make sure you subscribe. Chuck a rating and review while you're at it, would you? That'd be really handy. Thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, though, House Hats. They're the best band in Australia. And extra special thanks to legends of Green, 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 Iowa, Fascinator, Dozers, Sex Jedi, and the Ramshackle Army for the tunes you always hear on NBA Australia. Check them all out on Bandcamp and Facey. They're awesome. All right, that's it for this week. We'll catch us next Wednesday, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later, Horizon! Oh, what's this? Nah, get fucked. What do you mean? What do you mean there's no fucking deli review this week? Oh, that's fucking bullshit, mate. You're fucked. All right, I better fucking do one for next week. Oh, you're fucked, NBA Australia. Yeah, go on.